Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here for the week of May 25th, 2021, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF.
Yeah, that's right. News AF. Here we go again to talk about another exciting week of stories here. Of course, very excited to be back here with the News AF team, including Pickleball's top influencer. You've seen him just ensconced in all sorts of sweet swag from Fila. Here is Tyson Apostle.
Whoop whoop.
I'm here. And by here, I mean, I'm in Utah. I'm at my parents. My parents live quite rural and their internet is not powerful enough for what we're doing here, which doesn't take a lot of power, but it takes a fairly reliable.
It takes the power of three.
Is that the location, or you think your mom and dad are skimping on the plan?
No, they're paying for the best plan. Then that wasn't good enough. So then they got Starlink.
Or do you think they're restricting you? Because they're worried about the sites I might visit.
I never thought of that, but that's probably it. So I came down to my dad's place of employment where he employs himself at the warehouse. And here I am with fairly decent internet, I hope. Definitely better than where my parents are. And we might have employees walking around in the background, we should be good.
Are you going to invoice your dad for time at the office?
No, I don't think I'm on the payroll there anymore.
Okay. Oh.
That would be sick, though. Yeah. Double dip right now.
Yeah. The warehouse is such a bitchin' name for a podcast studio that I feel like I wish that, you know, I've always been podcasting out of my house. I feel like I wish I had like a external site to like, I'm down at the warehouse coming to you live from the podcast warehouse.
Sounds like an Amazon podcast.
Mm. Yeah. Well, people are asking, people are asking about if it's a shoe warehouse. It is not a shoe warehouse. It's a heavy machinery warehouse.
Yeah.
These are all little parts for machines all over the country. And
machines that make shoes, though.
No.
No, they make giant wooden houses.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
And then there's actually some of those machines over there that do make the houses. I'll do an Instagram story about it and show you guys a little bit more of the projects going on here, because it's probably pretty cool to people who care about that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Warehouse tour coming up later on today.
That's right.
Instagram, of course, the man who always has sweet Instagrams. It's Danny Bryson.
What is up? So glad to be here, guys.
In your basement.
In my basement, in my warehouse.
You're actually glad to be here?
I do like the podcast. You know, it's the only thing that's scheduled in my entire life.
And it's a release for you.
It brings structure. I'm like,
it brings the structure you crave.
I know that this happens. Yeah. So finally.
Yeah. My father-in-law, when I stopped going to church every week, he asked me if I missed the structure. And I said, I don't think you know me very well.
Yeah. Well, then that you have the day you go to church, and then every day is like, okay, well, yesterday I went to church, 6 days till church. So it's sort of like, it's not a coincidence. It's on Sunday, Tyson, first day of the week.
Yeah. Well, some would argue that it's not the first day of the week, actually.
It's the Monday. Last day of the week.
Yeah,
I think it's the last day of the week.
Yeah, I think the Bible says that. I think that, you know, you two just are outflexing me on my Bible study. You don't need to embarrass me. I get it. You two are better, you know, familiarized with the Lord's books.
The Holy Writ. Yeah.
And I embarrass myself.
Well, it doesn't. It's neither here nor there, because none of that matters.
Oh, awkward pause. Yeah. But anyway, it's good to be here, because this is the one thing that I'm like, oh, okay, it is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually pay attention to the calendar and the days of the week.
Rachel scheduled some nail appointments for my mom, the girls, and an aunt. And for my mom and my sister-in-law. And I was supposed to take the girls, and she's like, okay, Tuesday morning, I scheduled this. And I was like, there's really only one thing I've been doing every week for the last 5 years. And it's almost always at the time you constantly are scheduling stuff.
Mm-hmm. Coincidence.
She hates the podcast.
Yeah. Is it a coincidence? I don't know. She's trying to keep me from my friends because she thinks you guys are bad influences, but you guys are blaming you're telling your people that I'm the bad influence, and that's how friendship works.
Yeah.
It really does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did you do this? Because
Danny made me.
Throw your friends under the bus while you have friends. Mm-hmm. And then you throw your wife under the bus when dealing with your friends. Why can't you do this?
Yeah.
Because of my wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why you just have to hope they all never meet.
So yeah, you don't really have friends or relationships.
You do not introduce anybody to anybody. Yeah. Cause you always need the scapegoats.
Mm-hmm. You just have excuses. That's what your relationships are all excuses to get out of other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And really the relationships are just an accessory to be able to do the things that you were trying to do anyway. And you just need the scapegoat.
That's true.
Exactly.
Wow.
True. It's a vicious
cycle.
Cycle of friendship and excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So but that's what makes the world go round.
You know, that's
it. Yeah.
Okay. We got a lot of stories to talk about. Anything else that either of you want to hit before we do a deep dive face first into the news?
No, I can't wait. There's some stories here that...
Yeah,
I've wanted to
talk a lot of good stories.
Yeah, well, we've got some good stories. Let me just say that this is going to be the final News AF that I'm doing here in this location.
Mm-hmm. And then a top secret future location will be announced upon arrival.
Podcast warehouse.
The podcast warehouse.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Big empty. Not great acoustics, though. A giant open warehouse, but still cool visual.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a warehouse with a bunch of offices around. Well,
Huge warehouse of like podcast recording equipment, but I'm going to be like talking directly into a beach towel. I'll just be sort of like I'm going to have a beach towel in an umbrella, and I'll just be standing talking into it. And that's going to just absorb all of the sound waves.
I think I'm going to bring you guys a little bit closer to me. Yeah, there we go.
Please do. Yeah. So I'm packing all my stuff into a pod, which is ironic.
Because not a podcast.
Yeah, because I always podcast. So yes. I haven't considered trying to do a podcast in a pod. I don't know if anybody's ever done that before.
Maybe they have, but they're still in the pod dead. From just dehydration.
There could be some advertising dollars in that where it'd be like, hey, pod. I could podcast
the entire trip across wherever I'm going.
Smart.
I'll be in the pod podcasting as I go.
As they drag me across the country. That'd be great. The pod's cast.
You know what, Rob, if you're not careful on the next season that you're on of Survivor, they're going to have you listed as an entrepreneur.
Is that a kiss of death?
I don't know. You made that sound like that was bad.
Yeah. Well, if the other players find out, they'll say, oh, he's an entrepreneur. He must have money. Vote him out. Yeah.
It's just funny that that's like a title of somebody. I'm an entrepreneur. And you're like, doesn't that just mean like kind of like a business guy / hustler / untitled-less?
Very sexy entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you want that.
You do. You do want that.
But not on. So you wouldn't want the other contestants to, because it's too sexy. It's too hot.
Yeah, they already know you have a leg up in life.
Yeah. If I introduce Tyson, this is my friend Tyson. He's an entrepreneur. People are like, oh, wow. Okay. He's got a lot going on.
What are you doing?
This guy's ear because he knows what's up.
Yeah. I'm going to invite him. I'm going to try and befriend him. And then I'm going to get into his inner circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, Tyson, you have so many titles that we could give you. Entrepreneur, influencer.
Mm-hmm. I had to introduce you at a party, just like 5 minutes. Tyson Apostle, entrepreneur, you know, like just going on and on while standing there announcing you to my guest. I think you're going to go with, do you want to start with the best thing? You know, the thing they're most known for, or you want to start with that or end with that?
Mm. I think you end with that. I think you only choose things that are going to be
like you'd end with and Survivor winner.
Yeah. Yeah, four-time Survivor, one-time winner, but yes.
What you want to do with that is you want to like just throw it in as an aside at the end of like, oh, Tyson, he is an entrepreneur, poker player, pickleballer, influencer, nature enthusiast, and then, oh, by the way, he's also one Survivor.
Yeah, no big
he was
deal.
On he was on Marriage Boot Camp with his wife. Then he was a podcaster.
Yeah.
And on Survivor multiple times, professional cyclist.
Jeez, listen to this guy swimmer. Rattle this stuff off.
But the title that I'm most proud to call him is friend.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's the perfect introduction. And without any further ado,
air guitarist,
the news. Air guitarist, that's right. I'm everything.
He's a father. And a friend.
Yes.
Right. So, boy, at the end of that, people are just going to be just like maybe in awe. Maybe
sobbing.
It's like too much.
Might be better to start with the things you're not. That might shorten the whole.
Yeah.
Just be like, that go, I'll, Danny? I'll give you a list of
Tyson
things.
Tyson Impossible,
isn't.
Not mass murderer, not a thief. Like, you know,
if I ended up being any of those things, you'd be probably accessory in some capacity.
You covered, they would assume I knew.
You covered for him. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good point.
The key is not to invite you to anything.
Hornacek says my business card is a 8-inch by 11-inch size piece of paper.
Yeah, with a resume. Laminated resume. Perfect. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about some of the stories. Danny, you had some legendary Disneyland stories on the podcast.
Okay, legendary might be a little bit of an exaggeration.
Pretty sure that most of our iTunes reviews, 5 stars, came when you told your Disneyland stories.
I'll never forget the teacup lady. I actually told that story just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danny, Disneyland is opening back up with a new Avengers campus. I like that they're going with campus for the Avengers.
It's educational. Is that why?
Yeah, it sounds like they're really like being high class about it.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, Google has a campus. That's where you go to work, at the Google campus.
That makes more sense, though.
Yeah.
I could see working on a campus. I don't see giving people money. There is an eat. You can't eat on campus. But anyway, they should not call this a campus.
Well, this story is about the Avengers cafeteria.
I know. They should call it the Avengers money pit.
Okay.
Where you throw hundreds of dollars into just an eternal fire. Just like throw your money in there.
So you go to Disneyland and you throw your money into the burning Avenger, or the Avengers have so much money, they're just like shoveling money.
You throw your money, you stand on the edge of this giant pit of fire.
Do you make a wish before you throw cash into the fire?
If it helps you feel better about burning the money, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, you couldn't light it on fire, because then how would Disney scramble around and pick it up and be like, oh, my precious.
Yeah, they here's what I think, that the way that it works is that you go and you exchange your money for Disney money. And then you make it rain Disney bucks into the fire. That's how they make it work.
That's exactly how it will work when they come up with this idea. Burn Disney money.
You can make a wish. It's lucky. You know, you make a wish.
Of course.
You can wish to whichever Avenger hero you want to.
And this is at the center of the Marvel campus.
Marvel campus. So there is a, I guess, like any campus, is a cafeteria. It's called the PIM Test Kitchen. I'm not sure how to pronounce that word. P-Y-M. Pime? Pim?
Pim when you said it.
PM.
What does it stand for?
PM. Pim. Pim.
Look it up. It's got to be some Avengers reference.
Avengers character. Let us know in the chat, because I don't want to offend any Avengers who might be listening.
It's probably PM.
Okay. PM? Okay.
Pim, whatever it is, we don't like it.
Pim, played by, is that Michael Douglas plays him? Okay, anyway, so here we go. This is the Pim Test Kitchen. It's a restaurant at the Avengers campus. And so they have some unusual fare, including some size-defying foods. You guessed it. A $100 sandwich.
How big is it?
Quantum-sized Pimini sandwich. It costs Panini. $100.
Is it called a Pimini after the Pim?
Yeah, it's like a pun. And what they've done is they've combined the word Pim and the word the Italian word Panini.
Yeah, I hate it.
They're all in.
Mm-hmm. But I would buy this sandwich. How big is this sandwich?
So that it's a giant sandwich because, you know, Ant-Man, he can make things bigger or smaller. And so that's what they've done here. They've taken a giant, it's like, honey, I blew up the sandwich. Honey, I blew up the panini.
How great would it be if you just crawl into the sandwich and eat it from the inside out?
Yeah.
Get a group of
like
people.
Luke Skywalker did with that Tauntaun.
Yeah. Did he eat his way out of the Tauntaun?
Yeah.
That's what I remember, but I haven't. Yeah.
But how cool would that be? That'd be so cool to like just crawl into a sandwich and then they bake it. They give you some oxygen or whatever, you know, they finish the sandwich up. So you're kind of surprised at what's in there and what's on the outside. And then you just eat your way out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big. For $100, I think it's just twice as big as a regular sandwich.
Yeah. It says it serves 6 to 8 people, but it doesn't say which 6 to 8 people.
And how old are the 6 to 8 people? Mm-hmm. And what is their appetite of the
correct.
6 to 8 people?
Kids, there's a lot of variables.
Are they old? Are they very thin?
I bet I could eat one all by myself.
You think so? So here's a picture of the sandwich, but the issue is that they don't really
there's no frame
show
of reference
scale. I guess there's a pickle on the top. But I don't know. Is that a full size dill?
Is that a full size pickle? Yes, probably.
Or is that a little sandwich pickle?
The pickle for scale.
There's a pickle. Then there's like a pepper. And then what's that red thing on top? A little tomato?
Maybe is that a little hot pepper?
I don't know.
Yeah. So,
but the sandwich does look delicious.
Yeah. They need to hold up a Coke can next to the sandwich. And then I think then we would have a better sense.
I have no idea
reference.
How big that sandwich
but
is.
But what if it was one of those mini Cokes and we didn't know it like I used to do with my hands?
Or they use a trick of photography by distancing someone from the object to make it look like it was a monster sandwich.
I need to see Paul Rudd next to this. If they could get Paul Rudd holding it, then that would give me a good sense of, you know, how big the sandwich is. And I'm going to assume it's the regular size Paul Rudd, not the shrunken down Ant-Man version of Paul Rudd.
Okay.
You know, you guys touched on something that really bothers me earlier.
Which thing?
When asking about appetite.
Is it about the sandwich?
Well, it is related to the sandwich. Like, let's say you're going to order the sandwich and you say to the person, do you think it could feed me, Rob, and Tyson? Right? That is such a stupid question to ask, because how could that the server look at you and possibly know how much each of you could pound of the sandwich?
Well, I've never been to a place where I've had that question,
I never asked that question, but people do all the time with things like, how much could that personal pizza, could you think you could feed a hungry guy?
This is a good question, Danny, but I think you're off base here, because I think that there is no better predictor of who will eat how much than people who are professional servers, because all day long, they bring the same size portions to people.
Yeah, but you would,
and they have an estimate in their head.
You would never look at the guy who wins the Nathan hot dog eating contest and think, this guy is
not eating
something hot dogs.
He's not contest eating every day.
They're going to finish it. They're collecting data.
Competitive eaters tend to be pretty thin, a lot of them.
Yeah, that's
and
what
you
I'm saying.
You would never get an idea looking at them that they could pound the Pim sandwich solo. Mm-hmm. So it's like asking the server. No, but what I'm saying is I hate when people ask the server, could it feed us?
So
how could the server possibly know that?
Do you think that Kobayashi goes to like a restaurant and then orders something big and then says to the waitress, like, you think that's enough food for me? You think I'll be able to finish it?
And I got 17 hot dogs. Do you think that's enough?
Yeah, you're a very slight gentleman. I don't think that you're going to be able to finish it. And then he just in your face.
I did it.
I did it.
It's an impossible question.
That's a new prank show coming this fall to CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where Kobayashi goes in and gets the server. He's like, do you think 2 hot dogs will be enough? And they'll be like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to order 100.
No, sir. We cannot legally sell you 100 hot dogs.
I bet he pulls out his wallet.
Hot Dog Council of America recommends only 6 hot dogs a day maximum.
Yeah. He could take out a $100 bill and say, okay, you see this right here? This is your tip. If I finish this, then say goodbye.
That's kind of cool. This sounds like an interesting story. I like it.
The waitress or waiter is like, you're on, sir. No way.
He goes around hustling people at hot dog stands across America.
Yeah. Yeah. And all I ask in exchange for it is your phone number.
Oh, romantic comedy.
It's very forward, Kobayashi. I don't think that flies anymore.
You put your phone number down. I'll put this $100 bill down.
Let's see who wins.
let fate decide.
Yeah. Kind of like one of those.
This is a great story. This is awesome.
I win, tails you lose from Kobayashi.
I hope you're writing all of this down. You don't have to. It's being recorded because this is the beginning of a great story.
Yeah. Well, but that's how the competitive eating hustle goes.
Yeah, it really does. Man.
They always show in movies people hustling at pool. Maybe this can be the new hustling, like scene.
Oh, man, I couldn't eat anything at all. And then, do you think I can eat one more giant hamburger? No, definitely
not. No way.
Kobayashi.
Yeah. Maybe the guy comes in with like a takeout bag that he's already he's already eaten. Look at him. He's
going that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's
all part of the hustle.
He's got crumbs all over his face. Maybe he's got super disheveled. He's got his top button undone. Looks like he's done eating. I don't know if I could finish a pimp sandwich. There's no way.
Hold the strick in the bone.
You want to put some money on it?
That's how they get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So be careful. If you run into one of these Kobayashi types or Joey Chestnut or any of these guys at Avengers Cafeteria, just be on the lookout.
6 to 8 guests, what they say.
No easier mark for the competitive eating hustlers than like a family of 8 at Disneyland.
A dad wearing socks and sandals.
Yeah.
He's ready to get robbed.
Mom's concerned about, boy, this was an expensive trip. Dad's like, I'll make it all back. Just watch this. This guy just bet me $100 he can't eat the pimp sandwich.
Look at him, honey. He's tiny. There's no way. This is basically money in the bank.
And all I have to do if we lose is give him your email address. We got this, honey. Don't worry.
We can do it.
All right.
So this is definitely becoming a show.
Yeah. Yeah. You think that you have any connections that could help make this happen, Tyson?
I know people on TV.
I see this as like a standalone episode on like NCIS or something.
Okay. Yeah. What are we doing? What are we seeing? Are we following the competitive eaters as they hustle?
And there's like Marines. I guess that's what
I think it's more of like one of the old school. It's like the old school HBO documentaries where it's like the seedy underbelly of competitive eating hustles.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, hey, here we are with Kobayashi today. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go down here. I'm going to eat. I'm going to do a breakfast eating contest.
I hate myself.
Then I'm going to go. Then I'm going to go eat another breakfast eating contest.
The only way to feed my family is to feed myself to the point of nearly dying.
Then I've got three lunch competitions, and I have to dress different for each one and put on a full.
Yeah.
So that they don't know
this
who I am.
Sad. I like the previous story. I like Rob's. Rob's is an uplifting story of a young go-getter with a giant stomach ready to make his mark in the world.
That's how it starts, Danny.
Yeah, I know. I want to hear
that's
the starting.
Opening 15 minutes.
That's what I want. I want the start. The
this
uplifting
is where it
part.
Ends up.
Tyson's talking about like the episode later or just whatever happens, the documentary later after the movie.
It's like Boogie Nights, he's just like the superstar on the scene. Everybody can't believe this, newcomer. And then, then sort of like goes to his head.
Yeah. He had everything in the world.
And lost it all.
Everything.
Except for the admiration of his father. He could never make happy enough.
Wow. That's a good dark turn. Okay. All right. Maybe it's Oscar material now. I thought this was just sort of like, some sort of like fluff, but this is like now taking a serious turn.
That's a Disney Plus show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's all there to sell the sandwich.
Yeah.
It's all product.
It's a show based around a sandwich at their Avenger shop.
That's genius, dude.
Yeah.
So cool. So
you turn it off. Like, oh, that sandwich looked good.
Yeah, man, where do I get one of those? Only place you can get one.
Pay any amount
of
money.
I think I can do it. Yeah,
yeah, I can do it for sure. That's what they do. And on camera, on the show, the sandwich is a little bit smaller than it is in real life. So more people are thinking they can do it.
Oh, by the way, I want to point something out about the sandwich now that I've had time to really stare at this picture.
That is delicious.
That picture provided in this article is just one cut out of the meat sandwich.
Yes.
You can see the sandwich behind it. I didn't realize that till just now.
Yes, the sandwich is in the foreground.
Yeah.
Should we all three go and get this sandwich?
Pounding the pin.
Could the three of us finish the Ant-Man sandwich?
Yes.
She's like, sorry, you need to find two more people before you can order this sandwich. Know us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kaisen can eat an entire bag of popcorn.
Easy.
Yeah.
Two buckets before the credits even.
Yeah, he can eat half a Pim if he can do that.
What,
yeah.
A Pimnini?
A Pimnini.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hungry too, dude. I don't think
we talked about what's on the Pimnini.
I can see ham. Looks and like cheese. Yeah.
Salami, rosemary, and ham, bread. Provolone, sun-dried tomato spread. Is that like a cranch?
No, sun-dried tomato spread's like a fancy ketchup, yeah. I guess.
And then that's on a toasted focaccia.
That sounds good. I would eat that.
Yeah, I'd eat it too.
Not for $100.
Yeah, Rob, would you eat it?
That looks kind of heavy. It's like ham and salons. I mean, do we get a calorie count on this?
You don't yeah, that sandwich right there, that slice you're seeing, which is a regular size sandwich. Sure.
Yeah.
You think only 800?
For that slice. Yeah,
sure. 800 for that slice, but you can't eat any fries or anything with it either.
Yeah. Comes with some dipping sauces too. So there you go. All right. Should we talk about, this is sort of like a catch-all story, but basically, we've been on the News AF beat for years talking about all sorts of different UFOs, alien disruptions.
We're the only ones out there talking about this. We're the only ones.
Storm Area 51, yeah. Like a little bit of a blip on the radar, but then you're just back to, hey, here's this UFO. Now, all UFOs, all the time. Major UFO report is coming up soon. Going to be released by the government. Danny.
President Obama even came out.
Yes.
A well-respected president, and said that he wasn't sure what those things were and that they are a threat to national security.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it blows my mind that all this stuff is coming out, and News AF is one of the very few popular news outlets reporting on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's blowing my mind. How is this not bigger news?
Yeah.
People don't care about it anymore.
People don't care about it. And
I think people don't want to care about it because it just shifts everything they know about the world and the universe.
It is crazy.
It would completely destroy their worldview and the view of where they sit in the universe.
Are aliens among us?
Are they among us? I don't know.
Think about it. Even if it's not aliens, somebody has tech. Somebody possesses tech far above every other country in the world, far above. I read a recent report after Obama came out and said that he had, looked into these things. And then Harry Reid said he tried to get clearance to look at crash materials from the Pentagon, and that, certain people were in possession. He couldn't get clearance. He could never see them. And part of me is just like, dude, all these people, big government officials, respected officials, talking about it, and nobody seems to care.
Yep. Well, I think that there has just been so much, so many stories where, like, the collective response has been, ho-hum, who cares, so what, what's happening on TikTok, when's my new update to my iPhone? And then guess what? That I think that we're on the precipice for. I think we're going to come out. This report's going to say, yeah, you know what? There are UFOs. They're here.
They've been here a long time.
Yeah.
And by the way, you should be very worried, because right now they're just toying with us, but they have the ability to do basically whatever they want.
Yeah.
Whatever they want.
They've already been probing, but I'm interested. People have high hopes for this report coming out. They got slipped into the, the demand. They got slipped into the budgetary, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, to have high hopes on a government report is a waste of time. I feel like it's still not going to release anything that really...
Everything's going to be redacted.
Exactly. And it's just like, we need something dramatic to get people's attention. We need to either shoot down one of the TikToks, which I think there's a reason they're not shooting at them. Or we need one to crash, or we need one to crash into an influencer house. That might be the only way to get people's attention. One of those, what are they called? Content houses.
Content
in LA.
Collab house.
Collab houses. We need a Tic Tac to crash into one of those.
A Tic Tac,
and then finally,
for TikTok.
People would pay attention. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't believe this, that nobody seems to care. I talk about it endlessly to the point where people probably think that I'm myself am a little crazy, but I think this is fascinating.
Yeah. Tyson.
Go ahead.
Is this going to be the summer of aliens?
I don't think so. I think it's like Danny's saying that nobody really cares. It's going to be, I think it's going to be hot dad summer.
Hopefully. Dad, so it's going to be a hot dad summer.
Yeah. I mean, that would be good for all three of us. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's going to be, it's not going to give us enough.
Yeah.
And unless, honestly, even if the reports like aliens exist here, this is what it's up. That doesn't matter until an alien goes on like the Tonight Show and is like,
it says a couple like, politically so think, incorrect things. And then
an alien is going to get canceled.
Get canceled immediately.
That would get everybody's attention.
All the aliens would get everybody's canceled attention. The one alien.
I was going to say that go on the Tonight Show. I'm like, do you think that Fallon is going to, everybody's paying attention to what he's doing?
Really, they should come on this show. If they're going to come on any show, it should be this one.
Out of respect, for sure.
Your first idea about that we need one of these TikTok houses to. So hypothetically, all right, this is my plot for the movie of this. So Danny has been studying UFOs. He's got all the data that nobody in the media will listen to him. He's gone to the White House. He's gone to CNN. Nobody wants to run with this. He goes, he has only one place to turn, the Hype House. He goes up to the and he's like a crazy man knocking at the door. And then these kids answer and they're like, hey, who are you? Like, listen, I need the collective power of the Hype House. We have to get the word out.
And at first they're skeptical. Get out of here. Oh, gross, dude. You're as old as my dad. And then it's like, but I persuade one of them. And then he in turn persuades the others. And then this crazy adventure begins.
Yes. And ultimately
we're able to signal a tic-tac into the TikTok.
And the only house. Way that we can get the world's attention is that an alien needs to box Jake Paul.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I knew we had to tie in one of the Paul brothers into this.
And I love the that world will root for the alien and the aliens will be like, oh my God, they rooted for our champion against one of their own. What is a risky thing?
Imagine that one of the Paul brothers wins and becomes by default leader of everyone
of the universe.
It would be like a worst case scenario. Yeah. They're like, he defeated our champion. He defeated our champion. We all bow down to him. He is now the leader and has all of this like anti-gravity technology. He controls all the TikToks. That would be a nightmare. We need to have him fight someone a little bit weaker. Those Paul brothers are getting kind of jacked up.
Yeah, you want the aliens to win the fight.
I just don't want the Paul. You're right. Let's find a gentle giant among us who can destroy the
giant.
Yeah. No, he doesn't exist anymore. But you know, like a nice, maybe The Rock. Maybe The Rock's the guy
Rock?
Put up as our champion. Yeah. What's wrong with The Rock?
No,
he can be the world's champion.
Yeah, I would pay-per-view that. Mm. Yeah.
I think The Rock is more of a diplomat now in these negotiations.
Well, that's what we want.
He's not going to fight an alien
philosopher who can like destroy the alien physically, but then bring everyone together. Like it doesn't gloat in defeat. I mean, he has wrestling background. I think he's perfect.
What if the aliens took The Rock? What if that's why they were here?
Why? Out of all the people.
He's our finest specimen.
They took The Rock. Yeah. Yeah. He's getting on in age, though. Is there anyone
to be the younger? Future president?
They probably just want him for his like hall of humans, like that they have up the alien mothership. Like they pluck humans every now and then and then put them in carbonite or whatever and like admire them.
What if it was a ransom play where they took that? Basically, they said, okay, humans, we have abducted The Rock and then we want all of your Bitcoin. Would we do? Would we do it? I think we'd have to have a summit.
I'd give all of my Bitcoin.
They want all of the Earth's Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because we've mined the most.
That's fair.
Do you think we've mined the most, though?
I think so.
Maybe we have. If we have mined the most, then yeah, that's going to be a struggle for some people.
I mean, the other elements like gold, platinum, precious metals,
those are easy to find out there.
I mean, that's stardust. That's literally everywhere. Bitcoin is only on the earth.
Wow. Okay. And that's maybe why they want the planet so bad, is because this is the only place you can get Bitcoin. Well,
Bitcoin,
you
know, market was heating up, but now it's a little cooled off. So maybe
this really goes back to the biggest question. The question isn't, are they here? Obviously, something's here.
Definitely.
The question is, why? What, it's like they're just toying with us. You know, why? What is their purpose if it is, in fact, aliens?
What if it's just like flamingos? And we're like, oh, it was flamingos the whole time?
Oh, it's
we're
a species fine. On the planet, like octopuses have built these things and sent them up.
Yeah.
They do travel in water at speeds humans are incapable of traveling.
Yeah, that they came from a foreign planet, but now they've been among us for so long, we recognize them as a species. And so they're just like, yeah, there's a few aliens that are living among us. Octopus, they are from a different planet and they're super smart. And they've just, whenever they see a human, they just play it cool.
That's flamingos. A common theory, you know, in comic books, especially the alien that's always been here or the group that's always lived around us. Lots of people to say that's a good one, Tyson. I mean, flamingos is a bit of a stretch,
but wouldn't it be great though?
I wouldn't mind
what
flamingos.
Else is that color, Danny? I think it makes some sense.
Yeah, Danny.
Birds? There's got to be a bird.
So what do you think? Color. You think like octopus, dolphins, pigs and gorillas.
You know, if it was an octopus or a dolphin, I'd be relieved because you know, I don't think I've consumed a lot of their meat. Of course, if it was a pig, I'd be real concerned. We have not treated pigs very well. Okay. That's going to be a problem. Whatever species it does turn out to be, I just hope it's one that I haven't eaten a lot of.
Yeah, one that you haven't slighted in any capacity.
Yeah.
Smart.
Do you think for the politicians that are like talking more about this, do you think that this is like a political ploy? Like it makes them seem like that they're cool, like they're trying to court a lot of people talking about UFOs. If I talk about UFOs too, then I think that people are going to like me.
Well, I think the politicians are thinking that if they can expose truths that the population has been questioning for a long time, then that will help them.
The conspiracy theorists, that seems like a really solid block right now. I think I better stay on the right side of the people that are buying all the alien conspiracies.
If Bill Gates started talking about UFOs, I'd kind of subscribe to that. But some of the people talking about it have no reason. And they have some connection to the Department of Defense or intelligence.
But so imagine like a politician came out and said, look, there's no alien, there's no UFO, knock it off, everybody. Everybody would hate them.
Well, and instantly they'd be suspect, like, is that person an alien?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what's he covering up?
Yeah, it makes them sound cool if they talk about it.
Does it make us sound, do we sound cool talking about it?
Tyson, yes, yeah.
We do. We sound very, very cool.
We sound much cooler.
10 years ago, we would have been considered complete whack jobs. Yeah. I just like that we can now talk about this and not be humiliated. And
not have to hide our enthusiasm for aliens and us believing fully in them.
Yeah.
This is going to change a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for some people, it won't change anything. I think they'll refuse to believe it. It's just too different.
For instance, Mormons have believed that other worlds exist, but that they all look exactly human like us. So if they don't, that's going to throw them on their heads a little bit.
Mind blown. I don't want to see it. I don't think there's anything in these ships. I personally think they're all either artificial intelligences or they're like a drone being flown from another galaxy. I don't know. Maybe they're just
scouts. Hold on, Danny. You just blew my mind. Okay, let's combine all of our sci-fi tropes, because what if there was an alien civilization on another planet? Mm-hmm. They built artificial intelligence, started with Boston Dynamics dogs, developed it from there. Robots took over, wiped out said alien civilization, and now the artificial intelligence that has taken over this other planet is now sending their ships out to investigate everything else that's going on.
Yeah, that's classic sci-fi. That's very possible. It would explain why there's no interaction, and also explain why none of these things seem to be occupied.
Why?
But does it explain the probing?
6 months? Yeah.
The probing, I think, are just the hallucinations of drunk people. I don't know what really happened to them when they got blackout drunk, but okay. I don't think that they got probed. If anything, we've learned from all these modern revelations of UFOs that there's almost zero contact. That when you try to pursue, they outrun. Yeah. And when you try to in any way track them down, they disappear and can disappear at whim. Yeah. I think they're just kind of spying. We already talked about this, like they're galactic peeping Toms, probably.
They're very interesting. All right. More to come on this story as the summer of UFOs goes on. We await. You might have to do special coverage.
Yeah. When the first contact drops. Happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So be on the standby.
Can we make
gentlemen.
A pact that we get a report, artificial or not, either artificial intelligence or extraterrestrial intelligence is confirmed, has visited this planet. We'll do a special episode of this podcast.
Oh, yeah. We owe it to everyone on this
and
planet
ourselves.
To do that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Special coverage live. Okay. If you hear something, be sure to tag us on Twitter to make sure we know.
Yep. That's correct.
See something, say something.
Now, Danny, you
said that's how this community works.
You were concerned about different animals potentially being a alien. Tyson suggested a flamingo, but do we think maybe a chicken?
There's a lot of them, but they don't seem to be
highly intelligent.
Doing anything smart, for any reason.
Yeah.
Oh, they're smart?
Chickens are classically quite intelligent creatures, I believe, but not on the same scale as like a dolphin or a pig or an octopus or something like that.
Okay. Well, people love chickens and they love them so much that a lot of people are kissing and snuggling with their chickens, even too much, Tyson.
We talked about rental chickens.
Yeah.
They shouldn't do that at all.
Yeah. People think that they're a pet. And that the CDC says, no, not a pet. Do not snuggle or kiss your chickens on the mouth because people have been coming down with salmonella, an outbreak.
How do you get that?
Like, open mouth kissing a chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken. Yeah. Mm. I was always told not to do that. It's like,
Don't kiss or snuggle the birds.
I'm also in the camp that you should not be giving mouth kisses to any of your pets.
We should probably create this is a great marketing opportunity, maybe some kissing condoms for chickens, you know, like a cover you put on your face so that you can make out with your chicken. Snuggle
That's smart. So you think just like how would it work, like just the wax lips, like the ones, the wax lips from when from Halloween?
That's a great idea. They can even peck at the wax a little bit.
But I think it's more than just doing open mouth kissing with chickens. I think that it's the touching of the birds also. So you need gloves and also wax lips.
Okay. So you can dip your hands in wax, paraffin wax, like they do at beauty salons.
There's snuggling too. That's the problem.
The snuggling.
They're spreading germs and making you sick. So maybe could we have some sort of like a chicken coop that maybe has some holes for air, but basically where you can go and have sort of like, visiting somebody who is like behind plexiglass or like going to the bank.
Like a bubble boy, but chicken inside the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work just to snuggle with a chicken.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of work.
But, you know, chicken rentals are on the rise. So this might be something to look at.
Not just chicken rentals, Emily Shoup, who's a poultry advisor at Penn State University, said on Monday, raising poultry is one of the fastest growing animal related hobbies in the United States. Tyson, do you know what the other ones are?
Did they give a number or they just said one of the fastest growing?
I'm curious. You are the father nature.
Pickleball.
Pickleball. Is that
Is
that an animal related hobby?
How is that raising or
an animal related hobby is what she said.
Yeah.
Oh, probably. So you have snuggling chickens, poultry.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other. I think that's it.
Breeding donkeys.
Greyhound racing. Yeah.
Greyhound racing. Yeah. All of those are hobbies. Cause I was going to say, yeah, are people doing something different with dogs than they did in the past?
Or to be popular, it's going to have to be a small animal.
Yeah.
Like lizard racing.
And cute.
Yeah.
Oh, we talked about pigeon. Remember, pigeons are making a comeback. This is the year of pigeons.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. Remember pigeons? Pigeon racing. The pigeon prices are through the roof.
Yeah. Songbird contest. Oh, songfinch. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Man, you're that's right. You guys are right.
There's a lot of growing animal related hobbies because I think people like it because it's not screen time.
Yeah. I like my screen time.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and you also, Tyson, that you like screen time so much, you kiss and snuggle your phone.
I did.
Yeah, Tyson does lick his phone. And so
I have licked my phone.
New York Times needs to come out with an article telling people not to lick their phones, to kiss their phones.
That's part of human digression. Because I was like, because we're telling these stories, I'm like, man, it feels like humans have digressed quite a bit. But then you're telling me that licking my phone is actually also a digression, and I have been caught without even knowing it. And that's how it gets you.
Hmm.
Or you're building a super immune system by licking your phone so much.
I think that there could be an argument for that.
Why not create a screen protector that can also be licked and has a little bit of flavor for people like Tyson?
Hmm. So sort of like an edible screen protector.
Yes. Yes. And like after you've got your fill of licking it, you take it off and crumple it up and chew on it. Perfect. Huh, Tyson? Doesn't that just sound so appetizing?
Does sound good, dude. What would it be like, candy or what?
Yeah, it'd be like from the same material that like edible underwear is made from or whatever.
So we just got to get in touch with those guys.
Yeah, and make it clear.
How many edible underwears have you ever eaten, Danny? Because I know you used to carry those on your run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the ultimate exercise food. Like edible underwear. Just keep a couple in my storage pockets on my running vest.
Yeah.
It would be so good if that's what you ate, just like as a snack sometimes. Just like, what do we have in the treat basket? We have like 10 pairs of edible underwear.
Don't pop them out.
We're watching a movie.
Runners.
But not wear them or anything. Yeah. You're just eating.
Tyson, haven't you talked about how runners will often carry an extra pair of underwear? I mean, isn't that sort of like killing two birds with one stone of carrying an extra pair of underwear, which happens to also be edible? So either I, you know, pooped my pants from this extreme run, or I'm hungry and I need something to eat.
Eat underwear made out of beef jerky.
Yeah.
Out of beef jerky.
Yeah. No, it's more like a fruit roll up, as Hornacek says in the chat.
Yeah.
I know.
How does everybody know but me?
Have you never gone to a bachelor party?
I have, but I've never gotten edible underwear.
I bought it once.
Yeah.
And did you taste it?
No, I did not. I gave it. It was a present.
Yeah.
I'm not going to taste.
Have you tasted
the present?
I know I've definitely felt the texture of it, but I don't. Okay. I don't remember if I consumed it.
Look, I think you could make it out of beef jerky because they have that beef jerky snuff.
Yeah.
And that's pretty feathery. I feel like if you could somehow string together all that beef jerky snuff, you could make a very comfortable undergarment that could also be edible.
Yeah. I honestly like that, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, that I don't even think that the edible underwear is intended to be eaten. Like, I don't think anybody is going to sit down and say, all right, like, we're having a nice time with our lovemaking, but how about a snack? Like, I think the idea is that you can maybe remove it with your teeth, but then I think you sort of like, nobody's really supposed to eat it.
So you think that we need to make a more delicious pair of edible underwear?
A shirt made out of sandwiches. We talk about it actually from time to time. We do cover articles where people make clothing from food. I swear we talked about something like a pizza dress. So people are out there on the forefront of edible clothing.
Yeah,
it hasn't really caught on. We haven't found the proper material yet.
You know what would be the perfect clothing for edible? Edible tie. Okay. Hear me out. Edible necktie. You start the day full necktie. Okay.
Okay.
As the day goes on, You wouldn't take a bite of the necktie?
I would.
And then I think then people would be like, you've halfway eaten your necktie. That's interesting. That's a conversation
candy necklace
starter.
For businessmen.
But you can eat the understrip of it first, so you can still maintain the look of the full necktie before getting into it at night as you unwind at home.
You're
you come in from
train,
a long day at the office.
Long day
you're sitting
office.
On the train.
Yeah. It's like, well, I don't want to spoil the dinner, but
people who didn't know it was edible would think you were just out of your mind.
Yeah. Like, dude, it'd be such a conversation starter.
Yeah. Okay. So you think that this is our next business venture together?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, this is the kind
What's
of tangent.
Yeah.
Three brothers, edible neckties.
Edible necktie?
Three brothers, edible necktie. Edible cravats.
Yeah.
Cravats for the discerning palate.
Necktie. Tasty tie. What do you think?
Tasty ties are pretty good.
It makes it sound like it's just going to taste like Thai food.
Mm. I want it to be
candy. What if it does taste like Thai food?
That could be an option, but a wide range of flavors.
Yeah. Snack tie.
I like that.
Edible ascot, says Ed in the chat.
just to go back to the chickens for one.
Strayed.
And for any of our listeners who feel like, look, guys, I hear what you're saying. Okay. But my chicken is so lovable. Cannot stop. I have to snuggle my chicken. I have to kiss my chicken. Okay. Look, we warned you. You do not heed our warning, at least according to the guidance here from the CDC, if you're going to snuggle them close to your face or mouth, you probably ought to wash your face and brush your teeth, too, just to prevent cross-contamination from the birds. Chickens aren't dirty animals by any means, but they naturally have a lot of bacteria around their body. So if you do kiss and snuggle your chicken, wash up after, and then brush your teeth.
I thought you were going to say hit them with a couple sprays of Lysol. And get in close.
I don't know if that's safe.
Probably not safe.
Yeah, maybe if there's like some sort of natural.
No, we need a celebrity PSA for this. Mm-hmm.
What celebrity?
Okay, I'll do it. Attention, poultry lovers. I want to do it more like an asbestos commercial.
Yeah, this is like a class action lawsuit coming up.
Yeah, make them feel comfortable. I don't like that approach. I think you need to come in and be like, hey, guys, we all love chickens.
Yeah, you know what? We all love chickens. I don't think that's a secret or a surprise. We love to eat them. We love to snuggle them. We love to caress them. We love to kiss them on their dainty, cute little beaks. But it has come to light, and the CDC has let us know that salmonella has been running rampant through the chicken communities. And to avoid that spreading to the human communities, if you are going to snuggle your beloved chicken, please wear proper protection. That's all we're asking. We love them. You love them. Everyone loves the chicken. And the best thing you can do, the best thing you can do for your family is protect yourself while you're kissing your chicken. This has been a message from the SAG, SAG, or AFRA or whatever. I don't know. There's a bunch of different ones.
Yeah. The Guild.
The Guild. And now we're going to sing you a song with 700 musicians each singing.
That was good. That was good, Tyson.
It.
Do you think you could like tighten it up a little bit?
No,
we got it. We got what we needed. We'll just edit it down.
No, I mean, you could probably do it. I could probably do it. Or yeah. We all love our feathery friends. That's no secret. We love them. We want to show our affection. We want to show our love by swapping saliva with them. That's something that's natural. It's a beautiful, natural feeling. But they're is some salmonella running rampant through the poultry communities. And the best thing we can do to protect ourselves and more importantly, our human loved ones is wear proper protection while loving up on our feathery friends. So visit www.featheryfriendslove.gov/I love chickens for more information on how you can protect yourself and your loved ones while also protecting the chickens you love.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. That's pretty
Tyson good. Apostle from Four Seasons of Survivor, One Season of Marriage Bootcamp, signing off. Yeah. Chickens, we love you. Humans, take care.
All right. That was great. All right. Nailed it. Nailed it. Maybe on your Instagram story, you could also give the PSA as Father.
Tyson doesn't want to become the face. He should be protection. Like, why would he want that to be his thing? It's like, yeah, I got dropped by all my pickleball sponsors because I got too aggressive.
Is Big Pickleball supporting open mouth chicken kissing?
That's hard to say. Is this a controversial take? You won't know who's supporting it until Tyson comes out with his real PSA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's do another story. I thought this would be interesting to Danny and Tyson. So they did another survey. Okay, I got some survey people.
All right. Yeah.
So according to this latest survey, that a majority of Americans feel like that they could survive 2 weeks in the wilderness without any supplies.
Let's see, 2 weeks. As long as you have water, I think you can do that. I mean, even as long as you can drink, you can survive those 2 weeks. I'm surprised with the people who end up being found alive after going missing. These aren't woodsmen's or woods people by any means. A lot of these people get lost and are found weeks later. They're just Joe Schmoes who just get lucky. Really, it comes down to water.
Mm-hmm.
And exposure to cold, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also like a lot of people get out there and you think, okay, it's not going to be a problem. And people who have not experienced the outdoors before, as soon as it gets dark, it gets pretty scary. And especially if you're in places where there's large predators, can people do it? For the most part, if you are properly clothed or have a heat source and a water source, yes, easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah. Okay. But that is not what this is asking. They're going to drop people off with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that the 2 weeks or 16 days. The average American thinks that they can survive.
Where are they dropping them off?
Yeah, that makes the biggest factor.
In the wilderness. The average American thinks they can survive in the wilderness alone for 16 days, but only 17% are able, think that they could start a fire with flint. It's probably less than that.
Look, you drop them off in a desert, 90% of these people die within the first week or just the first couple of days, maybe the first day.
But you drop them off on like a waterfall luxury island somewhere with a fresh water source, they're fine.
Mm. Yeah. Only 14% said they could identify edible plants and berries. I could not identify a single edible plant or berry.
Yeah.
This is where the edible underwear comes into play for you, Danny.
No, like, thank goodness I'm wearing my beef jerky jock strap.
No, the tie. Just
nibble on that.
The tie. That would, I mean,
the
look.
Tie.
You would sweat in the elements, Danny, but if you were in your snack tie, then you would just like, okay, well, let me loosen this up and then take a bite or two.
Yeah.
Plus, I could use it to fasten together a structure that I could sleep under.
Yeah.
Until eating it on the last day of celebration after your rest.
You know, you guys are on 16
days. Mm-hmm. Don't they deprive 16 days you in the food? Wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. 16 days in the wilderness. I'm just thinking, okay, you drop me off here in Utah. Do I get flint in still?
I guess they'll give you flint.
I could start a fire with flint and steel.
Yeah, I can start a fire with flint and steel, so we're fine there. So I have fire. What am I eating now?
You
I don't know
edible
stuff. Identifying
edible plants and berries.
Yeah, I'm getting diarrhea for sure.
I could probably kill an animal, though.
Yeah?
With a trap?
With a trap. I mean, I've seen Matt catch tons of fish with his hands.
Yeah, that's true.
So I know that it's possible. Somewhere that,
you'd have to be somewhere where there is going to be fish.
Yeah, and that goes back to the original question. Where are you dropping off this American? Again, if you drop them off in most places in Utah, they die quickly because there's so little water.
Yeah. Well, it seems like that the pandemic has really helped people feel even more confident in their outdoor ability because 63% of these people surveyed said that the past year gave them a newfound appreciation of the great outdoors. And this survey, which was conducted by the fine people over at Avocado Green Mattress, who spoke to 2,000 people. The co-founder and chief marketing officer says the pandemic reminded so many of us of how essential nature is to our mental and physical well-being and how dependent we all are on it for a healthy, thriving, natural environment. Seems like this is a new frontier in marketing of you get your product. Okay. And then, you know, you find 2,000 survey people and then you release the findings of your survey somewhat related to your company.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hadn't thought of it till now, but this is the new, way to get attention. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a good survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do love a good survey. And I also think you got to take these people who answered that they could survive and put them on a TV show where we drop them all off with nothing.
Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, Naked and Afraid, but different.
Yeah. In fairness, they haven't ever lost anybody on Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, but not a lot of people don't make it the full.
Yeah, they quit.
Yeah.
Quitters. Yeah.
Yeah. Quitters.
Quitters. That show looked awful.
They quit wearing clothes and then they quit the game.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. That show looks brutal.
Yeah. What if they allowed the contestants on Naked and Afraid to wear edible underpants?
That would give them a day or two more.
Okay. All right, Danny, you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Let's journey there together.
All right. Open bolt hole.
Open it up.
Welcome to bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
Such a good song.
It's a great song.
You know what we should do for everyone, for the world? We should compile a list of all the studies done on how to be happy, all the old people who live to be a certain age that tell us what to be happy. And then we should have a society set aside, completely isolated, that lives just by these rules.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Eating chocolate, smoking one cigarette a day, whatever it is that the old people advice give. And then research like the one I'm about to discuss.
Yeah, one cigarette a day, I think, is really key.
Whatever it is the crazy old people say, then plus all the survey plus all the studies. And it's like this isolated environment and obviously all volunteers.
Yeah.
And we just find out if they create the perfect utopia.
Probably.
Because, there's so much information being thrown at you on how to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot depends on just
what works for you, Danny.
Yeah, exactly. And this is just another study. Maybe this will work for you. That's why I think they're worth repeating, because what if this is the one thing you're like, oh my gosh, this really helped me.
And I feel like said the only way to keep the aliens away. Wow. Tyson is in like a whole different outfit now. He came back. What was that?
Dude, I got cold. I was losing energy.
Like the Oscars.
Yeah.
I was losing energy because my body was trying to heat itself so much. And I was like, I would never survive out in the wilderness by myself.
Wow. That was
so
like
I had to run and grab a sweatshirt. TikTok. It was cold.
Yeah.
It's cold here, Danny. It's like end of May.
I know. I've been to your warehouse.
So
it's giant and just can't keep it heated. So the key to Tyson's happiness, obviously,
warmth.
Warmth.
Yeah.
Stay warm.
This change sweatshirt. Outfit.
What were you going to say, Rob? I
was
going to say,
what if the only thing that you found out that kept the aliens away was smoking cigarettes? They really didn't like smoke.
But why do we want to keep them away? You're saying that they're going to come in and do something bad?
They're dangerous to us, and we know.
Yeah, then I'd smoke. I think we'd all smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't even like, I don't like people. The smell of smoke is not attractive.
I have an idea for a future season of Survivor. Vape Lords versus Marlboro Men.
And women.
And women, Marlboro people. Yeah.
Do you guys want to go back to happiness? You want to find out how you can be happy? I think Rob, I think all of us here have actually exercised this, this rule in our life. And it's said the secret to happiness, according to scientists in London, is lowering your expectations.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to be careful. You have to know where that where the bar is.
Mm,
you
don't want it too low,
so low that you become miserable. So it's the overperform, or what is it? Under promise, overperform, right? Isn't that kind of the saying?
Yeah.
And this is what I always say to people. Look, if I don't think this is going to work out great, I think it'll work out, right? That's the difference. That's where it's for me. It's like, this will work out, just might not be great. Then the results are almost always pleasing. And then if the results turn out that they didn't work out great, you're like, ah, that's what I expected. Mm-hmm. So no loss there. So this is almost a no-brainer, but people at the University College in London launched the Happiness Project, and it looks like they're going to find all of the things that make us happy. And then they didn't do just 2,000 people. This isn't a 2,000 survey people thing. This has involved 18,000 people.
18,000 survey people?
Well, it wasn't even a survey. This is research. Mm-hmm. So they brought people in and had them do things and scan their brains and... maybe a little bit more legit than a survey people thing. But I think that most of us already knew that, right?
Should we every week on the podcast talk about the things that make us happy? That could be like a segment.
Like a high low?
Not a low. Well, just what's making just you high. Happy this week?
Yeah. Well,
that's an original idea.
I guess probably talking about the things that make you happy would also make you happy according to 2000 survey people.
Or sadder because you're like, oh, I'm not playing pickleball.
Am I making other people sad?
Yeah.
Which by the way, Rob, it's funny you mentioned that because attached to this story is a story about how gratitude, makes you
gratitude
happy.
Gratitude is gratitude. You know, you got to say thank you.
Yeah. And generosity also makes people happy. Yes. So all these things, and then I'm just bombarded by this, but this was one that seemed like a no brainer to me. If you lived your life expecting everything to be stardust and unicorns,
forget it.
It's like, you're going to have a very hard life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Don't expect anything special.
Yeah, but when it happens, recognize it.
And be grateful.
Give thanks. Yeah, that's what I always say. Don't expect anyone to help.
Pass it forward.
Yeah. Can we have a
come up with an
acronym? Pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a haiku of expect nothing great. If you get it.
That's celebrate.
Awesome.
Okay.
But don't
remember to give thanks.
Expect more. Yeah, that's it.
You know, we could apply this rule to buying a chicken. Let's say you listen to us now and you're like, dude, I wanted to get a chicken. Now your expectations are pretty low.
Yeah.
But you still go through with it and you get that chicken.
And
you find careful. A workaround.
We didn't say you can't get a chicken. We just
wax
said
lips and gloves.
And brush your teeth. Oh my gosh. After.
Rob,
scrub
Danny,
with Lever 2000.
Tyson made it sound like chickens were just the worst, but then I got a chicken and you know what? It is so much better than I ever thought it would be. This is great. Even though I can't open mouth kiss my chicken, I still
like spend
a lot of quality time. Yeah.
And if you have to, brush your teeth and maybe a Listerine or a scope after.
I don't know if that kills someone.
I think you have to wash your hands, face, mouth, everything.
I'm pretty sure Listerine, you could, that's going to kill almost anything.
99.9% of bacterias.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I think is advertised. Yeah.
Does Listerine
kill salmonella?
Salmonella. Maybe this is like a big advertising campaign for them.
Maybe this is like we start bathing in Listerine, knowing that it kills so much stuff.
Bacteria killed by Listerine. Hmm. I'm not seeing a salmonella, but maybe it has a different name. Hmm.
Sounds like a job for a scientist, Rob, not some kind of podcaster.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. But that way, could you imagine if Listerine says,
you thought you found a workaround to open mouth kissing the chicken?
Are you tired of not being able to open mouth kiss your chicken? Well, the people over at Listerine have the solution for you.
It starts off with a celebrity open mouth kissing a chicken, and then they turn to the camera and say, I can do this now thanks to Listerine.
Are we going to get contacted by Listerine? For a huge advertising campaign, probably.
Mm. Yeah. So we don't know. Well, Does Listerine kill E. coli? It kills E. coli, but I don't know if that's salmonella. We need some of our science correspondents who might be listening to weigh in.
By the way, tie in. I saw a research yesterday that said that you can give people food illness by having sex.
You can
food poisoning. Yeah, I saw that. I wonder if you can pass on open mouth chicken kisses to your partner.
Yeah.
By engaging in intimacy.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think that I have another way to improve the snack tie. Snack tie, edible tie, is actually a Listerine strip.
Oh, like the ones you used to put in the roof of your mouth and they dissolve?
It's like, my breath is not so great. Take off a piece of my tie, put it on my tongue. All of a sudden, I can kiss a chicken. I have fresh breath.
Mm-hmm. You could do this on your own product. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I like that too.
We are firing on all cylinders.
Dude, today has been a really productive day for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all happening.
Nap the rest of the day.
Guys' trip to Disneyland coming up. We're going to split the sandwich. We are not going to fall for any of the competitive eaters' hustles. We know how to be safe. Kissing chickens, UFOs are coming. We're ready. We know it's coming. And
we know the secret to happiness. Yeah,
and we're ready to go live outdoors for as long as the alien invasion is taking place.
Just lower your expectation
for all of those.
Put on our edible underwear, and then we're just going to go and set up shop.
I think this is why I've actually been so happy, because I'm always like that. Like, even with the aliens thing, I'm like, it'll be cool if something comes out about it, but I'm not expecting anything. Yeah. And then it comes out and I was like, it's kind of like I thought, or something awesome happens. I'm like, yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And, that's the way you got to live your life.
Either we're going to find out something interesting, or we
will be right where we are already.
Yeah, or we will be able to put off the, alien invasion for another couple of years. So
exactly.
Either way, win-win. Great.
Win-win.
Great. Danny, what's coming up for you?
I'm glad you asked, Rob. I went on an adventure yesterday. Currently working on a video. Hopefully I'll get that out.
Okay.
Tyson and I rode the White Rim Trail.
Oh, you did?
Bunch. Yeah. It's 100 miles on a mountain bike through Canyonlands National Park.
Who'd you do that with? Did you do that with Matt?
Christoph.
Oh.
Yeah, I need a deep tissue massage on my butt with some hot essential oils or something.
That doesn't sound fun at all. I've done that.
It's
a
not
bunch
fun.
Of
I put it. I put it off because I never thought it sounded
deep
fun.
Deep tissue massage.
It is beautiful.
Not the deep tissue massage, but the ride. Like Tyson used to invite me. I'm like, that sounds stupid, but it was like a birthday thing for Christoph. He wanted to go do it. I'm like, fine.
Has he never done it before?
No, he'd never done it, but everybody hears about it. So I've got that coming up. I did the adventure. Now I'm just editing the video.
Okay. Cool. That's we'll
going on an adventure with Tyson maybe tomorrow, right?
Hopefully. Yeah.
That's
we're
cool.
Gonna meet up in person, because there were some disappointed fans at the Pickler that were like, is Danny here? And I was like, I'm never confirmed whether or not he would, but I'm assuming he's not.
Do you hear a helicopter?
Yeah,
on approach?
Do you hear a helicopter? Well, if you do, it's not Danny's, because he doesn't have a helicopter.
But he could be in one.
But he could be in one.
So yeah, we'll be adventuring. Probably go to something cool with Tyson.
Yeah.
Well, not cool, but let's leave those expectations low. Whatever.
Good idea.
Happen. Okay. Tyson, and then what's coming up for you? You're in Utah, ready to pickleball?
I already pickleballed. I went to a place called the Pickler Indoor Facility, like 7 or 8 courts. It was awesome. 100 fans and well-wishers showed up, and I got pictures with all of them. I got some video on my Facebook from my POV cam. I wore it on my head the entire night.
I saw it.
And it's pretty fun. I'm going to do some editing from those videos and throw some more stuff up. And then I'm just here for a couple more days. Maybe Danny and I will get some content out tomorrow if we can find some cool nature.
I know where all the nature is. All the best nature.
I didn't bring my powerful camera, which is a bummer, because there's some herons in a nest in a tree by my parents. And I'm kind of bummed that I don't have a high zoom camera to capture all that. But
you're not going to kiss
them. I will not kiss them. I'll admire them from afar.
Smart.
So How about you? You cross country road trip.
Just getting ready. Yeah. Well, I'm going to fly. But just putting all my stuff, getting ready to go in my pod, and then I'm going to head on out, and then hopefully get some percentage of my security deposit back at this house. But again,
not expecting it.
Yeah, I have low expectations. Yeah.
Good.
I think I'm going to get about $46 back. So we'll see.
Yeah. I've at an apartment I stayed at in college, I ended up having to owe them more money even past my deposit, which I didn't
the ragers
know
you thing. Threw.
No, it wasn't. It was a lot. And I didn't know how to manage my expectations at the time. So I was quite shocked that they charged me more. The whole thing flooded. It was their fault. And it's a long story. So whatever. Bye-bye to black mold for the time being.
Yeah.
Right, Rob?
Yeah.
Leave that in your wake.
That's right. Obviously, so many problems at this house. Black mold, broken air conditioning.
Good times.
Yeah, water heater busted only a couple of weeks ago. So
no, so it's cold showers?
For a day or two, yeah, until they fix it.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we're out of here and then off to North Carolina. So
perfect.
It's been 17 years here in California and now 6 more days.
Good.
End of an era.
You got this.
Yeah.
Yeah. End of an era. You got this.
All right.
Fantastic.
Thank you all so much for checking us out here today on News AF. This was a really fun one today.
I liked it. We had fun. I didn't have my coffee this morning, so I didn't know if I was really.
Yeah, yeah. I could tell either.
You're maybe shooting. I don't need coffee after all.
Maybe not. All right. Just for the record, there will be News AF next week, but there will be somebody sitting in my seat, correct?
Correct.
All right. Be on the lookout for that. Should be a fun one. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.